I love Halloween. I'm just saying.
I love it better. More. Fucker, I worship the devil.
Have you ever noticed that there's always that fan that's going to love, like, no way, I love it more than you love it.
There's no way.
There's no way. I used to think about that when I was younger. I'm like, no way, there's no way they like it the same way I like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you get to the point where you're like, how fucking childish and stupid is mm-hmm. that?
You can't just be an adult and be like, oh, you like Halloween too. Good for us.
Yeah, we like something similar. We have something in common. This doesn't have to be competition.
Halloween 3 was way better than the rest of the series, the season of the witch. I'm just saying it was the best.
Didn't have Michael Myers, except for that one cameo. All I have to say is that I thought I was the biggest Godzilla nerd in all of fucking Southern Illinois.
Creation.
Yeah. And which I think I am, purely based on knowledge. But I have a buddy who will randomly, in the worst situations, just bring up, so how do you think Godzilla vs. Kong's going to go down? I'm like, you know, as big of a fan as I am, I'm not confident enough to just blurt out Godzilla shit in the middle of the worst possible situation. So I concede you, sir.
Like at a funeral?
Like at a funeral. Where someone was burned to death. And we're talking about a fucking giant radioactive monster that burns shit.
He died of radiation poisoning. He sacrificed himself to go into the reactor and close the valve. How do you think Godzilla's atomic breath is dangerous? Perfect timing, Fred.
Speaking of danger and
Danger Will Robinson?
Danger.
Ultimate combo.
Dude, that was fucking awesome. And
I know.
What?
That was amazing.
What do we... They tell me do things I done running.
I do running. My God, those sandwiches smell delicious. Or they smell good.
Pork chop sandwich.
Pork chop sandwiches. Get out. Get the hell out. Get out. What are you doing? Let's go. Did this say outside? Like, my God, those sandwiches smell delicious.
Okay, so I pulled up all of those the other day.
The Fenslers.
The Fenslers,
and
yeah.
I did it just to show Chelsea my favorite one, which is kids outside. And he's like, Billy, do you like baseball?
Billy, do you like... Yeah.
Does your mom still go down to the bar, down by the docks?
Yeah, the dockside bar.
Dockside bar. He's in a sailor suit, isn't he?
Yeah, I can't remember the G.I. Joe's name, but...
Can't be any worse than Seafoam, the Transformer.
He was alluding to the fact that...
He may be his dad.
Right.
May be my ass.
The kid had a mustache, too. It was clearly his father.
But I love how that was literally the second to last one in this entire 30-minute playlist, so we had to sit through all of them just to get to that one.
Oh, man, there's so many good ones.
So yeah, by the end, we were laughing so fucking hard. Even Chelsea loved it.
Last one, there's a penis pump.
Oh, fuck! He trips on the ice.
Yeah.
Are you kids, get off my lawn.
Get the stick. Oh, don't take the stick.
All right, grab the stick. Don't touch the stick.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. The one deep sea diver, think I name, his name is or whatever. He comes to the window and he's like, hey, what's going on?
I was going to say, that's my favorite one.
And then he shoots with a ball of light. Teleports him away.
Like, what the fuck?
My favorite is the one with the kid on the cliff. He's like, hey, y'all, watch this. And the cliff collapses and he fucking falls. He's like, shit. And it's like, G.I. Joe. And there's one other. I mean, there's so many. You could quote those all day.
There's like 32 of them or something.
Yeah, I'll stop. Because there's the one that's completely in Japanese.
Yeah.
She's
Yoshikani Onemono. Yeah. Hey, kid. I'm a computer. Stop all the download.
I got a computer. I mean, my mom's got like Minesweeper and stuff on it.
All right, welcome to our G.I. Joe Fenslers mini.
Yep, Fenslers episodes.
I still can't believe somebody took all that time, well, a group of people took all that time and made those.
Wrote scripts and...
There was a video on it, not last month, from a guy named Wang talking about him. And apparently it was just one dude.
Really?
Like, he probably got in, like, friends to do it with him, but it was just one dude.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, because he did the Rastafarian thing, too. There's the one that's singing like Rastafarian music while he's doing it. And you're
the whole episode, that whole one's got music going to it. Yep.
They have him. He did all of those for a specific website, and of course they went viral. And if I recall correctly, he does other sketch comedy. And eventually he got hired on by Adult Swim.
Awesome.
I think, I could be wrong, I think to do the in-between commercials right. things for Adult Swim. Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's amazing.
You know,
it's glorious.
The more amazing part about that is he never had to pull the, like, I don't think anyone's ever pulled those down. Like,
you can find them anywhere now. They're, the internet's saturated by those.
But, right. like, they've never been copyright right. or anything.
That's right. what I'm saying. Like, that's one of those things you know that if, who owns G.I. Joe Hasbro.
Hasbro, yeah.
If they really wanted to be pricks about it, they could be like, yeah, you're literally ripping straight from our cartoons. So
I just love how he never touched the show itself, only the after
right,
special
right.
promos.
He didn't worry about the episode. He just wanted the public service announcements.
That's one thing I think he has over Team Four Star, because they do the same damn thing with Dragon Ball.
Right.
It's the most random nonsense.
Right. So would you? Could it be said that the Fensler films were the first abridged? The first abridged episodes?
No.
Okay.
Because abridging means that you're condensing a story into smaller bite-sized chunks. What he did is completely rewrite the stories to fit his own narrative. So that's called plagiarism.
Would it be parody instead, though?
Your mama's a parody.
It's your mother, too.
I watched a documentary not too long ago on them making the He-Man cartoons.
He-Man!
I was gonna do the He-Man song.
So they basically made them do those PSAs at the end, like by shotgun. They were like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were basically like, yeah, the only way that you're ever gonna get to play this on a syndicate television is by fucking.
Even though the show wasn't that violent, per
right.
se.
It was
there's no actual violence
ones.
In He-Man.
Not really, no.
They pointed that out. There's actually no real attacks or no one dies in He-Man.
Nobody really throws a punch against anything that's animate. He-Man never hits anything other than another weapon with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
There's no blood in the whole thing.
He powers up. He pulls out the Sword of Power. He gets the power of Grayskull. And then everyone's just like, ah, shit, well, He-Man's here. All right, well, all right. Our evil plan is over. He showed up. We can't.
Damn, how did we not factor that in?
How did we not expect him to Battle Cat? What is he doing here?
Battle Cat.
He's here every time.
What I love is that syndicated TV is so fucking goofy. When they started airing Sailor Moon in the States, they did the same thing. But because it was made in Japan first, they couldn't exactly use the same animation to make their after-school specials. Like, don't buy too much makeup. It'll cost your parents money.
Right.
So instead of that, what they do is they try to tie it into the moral of the show, and they just use clips from the show.
Okay.
They're just... It's lazy.
Shows don't do PSAs anymore, do they?
They don't have to because they're not on ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Well, yeah,
and
we're
all
also fucking PC. You're born with the knowledge that they would impart.
You shouldn't set forests on fires?
Well, I mean...
I do it.
Most of your cartoons and stuff like that come from Nickelodeon or
right.
Cartoon Network and stuff like that anymore. I don't know. I don't think ABC or... They don't make cartoons for them to air on those channels anymore, really, do they?
They don't make them like they used to.
That's true. So they're not held to those strict guidelines. In fact, even the Warner Brothers cartoons, since they weren't on the big three networks, when Warner Brothers, like Tiny Toons and Animaniacs and all that stuff, when they were being made, they didn't have to have those PSAs because they weren't tied to like the public broadcasting. They weren't tied to those same stringent things that all these other cartoons were.
I could be wrong, but I think Cartoon Network was founded by, what's his name? Turner? Ted Turner?
That sounds about right.
I think that was him that did it. But then, almost immediately, Cartoon Network has become a fucking... Well, not anymore. Now it's all PC again. But for a while, it was airing some really off-the-mark dark shit like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Mm-hmm.
That is still my favorite fucking cartoon from that.
You gotta think, too, because... He started TBS, TNT, and it would have been Cartoon Network then.
The Turner Cartoon Network.
Right. But honestly, Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon were the death of Saturday morning cartoons.
Disney Channel?
Disney Channel really, they weren't really putting out cartoons at that point. They were shifting over to more of a live action.
I hate their fucking live action little
teen
sitcoms.
Teen bop bullshit, yeah. And most of, like, you know, DuckTales and stuff like that, they were already off the air by then.
They had Gargoyles.
Yeah, Gargoyles was still kind of a thing.
Gargoyles was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Is it Keith David?
It is Keith David.
He keeps trying to get that show made. He's like, come on, we can do this.
Yeah.
I'm Keith David, bitches.
I'm Keith David, bitches. The weird thing about Gargoyles is it is one of those shows that's kind of trapped in a bubble. Like, not everyone has heard of Gargoyles. In fact, when you bring it up, they're like, what the hell's Gargoyles? But there are some diehard loyal fans of that show.
Right. I'm one of them.
Well,
yeah, it has half the fucking cast of The Next Generation in it.
Yep. And a lot of the people that worked on Batman the Animated Series, the animating and all that stuff, and the choreographing and stuff, also worked on Gargoyles.
Mm-hmm. So that's their, like, spiritual successor to Batman?
It kind of was, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of see why that show was as good as it was when you have people in charge of even Batman the Animated Series taking into Gargoyles and stuff like that. So it's pretty neat.
My only regret is that they went a more futuristic route, because I would love to have seen Gargoyles in the 1940s Art Deco Gotham.
Right, right. That'd been really cool.
I'm almost kind of scared to see, like, if they went back through right now and redid Gargoyles, what would it be?
I would want a live-action movie.
I could see them doing that.
I would want it, and I want it to be almost entirely at night.
Yeah, they'd have to.
But yeah, they turn to stone in the sun, don't they?
Yep.
Be a good fucking movie.
What's his name? You were saying most of the cast is TNG, but Jonathan Frakes. He's the bad guy in the show.
Yeah, he's got a stupid name like Xarxes or something.
He's
a
bad guy in real life, too.
You're right. A similar event did take place.
God.
We'll never let it go.
He's just a good actor. He's just, and he's got a good voice, too.
Four sent me one.
He's a good fucking director, too.
It's 45 seconds of Jonathan Frakes telling you you're wrong.
Yeah, that's the one he sent us. Yeah. You're wrong. No. That didn't actually happen.
We made that up.
Yeah.
It's funny because I have not seen that since I sent it to you guys. Another one keeps popping up in my feed. It's a minute of Jonathan Frakes interrogating you.
Oh, no. It'd be one of them interrogations where you finally tell the truth just to get him to shut up and leave. Fine, whatever. I did it. Leave me the hell alone.
Is this because I asked for your autograph? I know it is, isn't it? But anywho, so speaking of spooky, scary Jonathan Frakes and shit, this whole episode was supposed to be about video games.
The spooky, scary type that kind of puts you in the mood for Halloween.
There might have been a time where you were home.
On the range.
Sick. And you only had a certain, you were like Halloween and everyone's trick-or-treating, but you're like got the flu and you can't leave the house. The only game you have is
fucking Mario 3.
Right.
So it's fucking Paperboy. It's got the Grim Reaper. It's Halloween.
So, of course, every Halloween, you're like, everyone's playing scary games, and you're playing freaking Tetris. I don't know, because that's all you had during Halloween.
Trying to make a pumpkin out of the colors. Like, some people played good games, like Majora's Mask, and some people didn't. Some people played shit, like Dead Space 3.
They played crap, like Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask is one of those games that I didn't finish. I started it, I played a little bit through, and I found out I didn't like the time.
I was going to say, would you say you got about 3 days in?
No. No, I did not. It was definitely one of those games that I always wished I would have played through. In fact, I looked at it more of a add-on to Ocarina of Time.
It feels like that at times.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been a $60 game, but, you know, it definitely kind of puts off a spooky atmosphere to it, just looking at it. Even the cover of it and the giant moon with its gruesome face.
That moon is pretty spooky.
The original moon was even scarier. I don't know why they changed it. Probably because it was too fucking scary.
That might have been it.
It had more of a jack-o'-lantern thing going on.
Okay.
If I recall correctly. Well, even though it does feel like an add-on at times, I think it actually does some stuff way better than Ocarina of Time did. For example, your sword can be upgraded.
Okay.
And when you upgrade it, it doesn't just, you know, it's not just stronger, it changes it completely. Like, your first upgrade is called the Razor Sword, and it literally gives you a fucking hunk of metal in the vague shape of a weapon as a sword.
Right.
But you can only use it 100 times or it breaks.
Can you repair it?
No. It goes back to your base bitch sword. And you have to go in time to make that happen. So it goes before your first upgrade.
Okay.
So the only thing you can do is upgrade it again before your 100 hits, and it'll turn it into the gilded sword, which makes it unbreakable, and it does like twice the damage the razor sword did. And it's got like a kick-ass diamond pattern on it of gold.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
Until you get the
super cool,
the Fierce Deity mask, and then you get the Fierce Deity sword. Or
that was the other thing I was going to mention. Well, you get a great fairy sword too. I never got it because collectathons are bullshit.
But what's the spookiest part of the game?
Trying to count your 100 hits with your sword. You're like, oh god, was that 100? I don't know.
Was that 72 or 73? Fuck. I would say Icona Canyon. The level before the second to last level in the game. I don't know. There was a freaky part where you're on the moon, and there's a bunch of fucking kids running around with the masks of the bosses you've killed, and the main mask, that's where Majora's Mask, is like, you're a terrible person, you know that? You're the bad guy all along. And it's like, damn, dude, cut me deep. That's all I got.
My feelings.
I always thought the most horrific part was you switching from mask to mask.
It's fucked up the first couple times. At least the Deku Scrub and the Zora are just fucked up.
Deku Scrub. Get good, Deku Scrub.
Well, I mean, he's wailing in pain as he puts this mask on. It reminds me of Jim Carrey's The Mask.
The Mask, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I wonder if that's where they got the inspiration for it.
Or Cher's The Mask. I guess that was just Mask, wasn't it? Poor Cher.
Was that the one with Jeff Bridges in it? Or did they have Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott.
Yeah. Had one of them deep voice assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Elliott has not aged in like 50 years.
I would say he's going to be the world will pass and we'll have to leave it to him and Keith Richards.
Right, those
and
two.
And Betty White.
And Betty White.
They're going to have a sword fight at the end of time because there can be only one.
I thought Betty White passed away.
No, she's still kicking.
She's still kicking, huh?
That's hilarious. The quickening. Betty White's going to win.
Right. She has to.
She is the oldest.
She's obviously not taking a head in a long time because she's aged fairly well.
You said taking head? I thought you meant given head.
Moving forward.
Whatever floats your boat, man.
Speaking of scary shit.
What's more scarier than Dracula, Frankenstein, a mummy, the Grim Reaper, Medusa, and a big bat?
Is he talking about Paperboy again?
Might as well be. But Castlevania for the original NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's what NES stands for.
It still scratches that itch for a spooky game. It's definitely, I mean, even just at the beginning of it, you seeing the castle in the background and the gate in the foreground, it's still enough to evoke that emotion of you're in for a night of horror.
Now, you say Castlevania 1, I say Castlevania 4.
I agree that Castlevania 4 is a better game, but sometimes you got to pay homage to the original. The original game, just putting you in the castle, I mean, 1986, think about that. What did we really see, like, as far as game experiences that did that? I mean, there had been other horror games.
Well, keep in mind, that's only 2 years after the NES came out.
Right.
So they had Mario and Zelda, and that's about the extent of what they had.
But that was the point, though, was the original Terror, the original video game that really did showcase horror properly. I mean, there had been, what, a Texas Chainsaw game on one of the... And there was a Friday the 13th game on another console, and I can't even remember what it was.
There was a Halloween game.
That's know. It. Yeah. You're right. That's what it was.
And of course, I know you love to talk about the Friday the 13th game for the NES.
Yes.
The terror that is Purple Suit Jason.
Yes. And then you get
they didn't have a lot to work with back then.
Yeah, and then you get to play Punch-Out with him. But even that game...
Body blow. Body.
Even that game is not as...
I'm Jason Voorhees.
But that was a weird part, too, because that game, you were just random. It was randomly when you ran onto him anyway. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, he's... Oh, there he is.
Well, I mean, there was like an alert meter where sometimes the game would flash at you and be like, Jason's nearby. So then you'd have to cross all the way across level before he fucking killed a kid or something.
But that game is not nearly as atmospherically spooky as Castlevania.
Oh, hell no. I agree that Castlevania is... It fucking nailed its presentation for the NES.
The only bosses that I always... It's kind of out in left field, but Medusa and the Mummy were the two that I was always kind of like, we're mixing it up here. It just didn't feel like it should have belonged in the castle. But it still was fun, though. I mean, you didn't question it back when you were a kid.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think there's ever going to be a game that I play going forward that will affect me the same way the original Castlevania did. It just cemented my love for horror games or my love for spooky things. It's an amazing game.
Did you ever beat it as a kid?
Once.
Okay, I hate you.
I did one time, and it was like one of those, like, I spent like a whole day just trying over and over and over again and dying and dying and dying, and I finally made it through it. But as when I was a kid, the game looked like it was huge. It was like this big, massing, sprawling, epic adventure. Now I watch a speedrunner do it, and the same time it takes me to drink a 12-ounce can of soda. I'm like, what the hell?
But that's the worst part. That game, there's no way to do it fast. All you can do is watch them skip shit, because you cannot go faster.
Right. He just doesn't have it in him. And every time you get hit, you jerk back and knock yourself into a chasm. But watching those guys...
do that.
Yeah, you are magnetically attached to chasms. That's bullshit. That's my Orson Welles. I'm Orson Welles.
Either one was believable.
Nailed it. 10 out of 10.
Oh my god, it's like I'm looking at a Orson Welles body double.
Oh, you call me fat?
Yes.
You call me alcoholic?
Yeah. Calling you a terrible writer, too.
So Orson Welles,
Citizen Kane.
Orson Welles' last few years were just to pay for his wine addictions.
I'm calling you an even worse actor.
Apparently, he got into a fist fight with Ernest Hemingway.
I thought you were going to say drapes. I was like, neither would have surprised me with him either. Oh, shit. I would say...
yeah, that's great. So back to Castlevania.
Yeah, that's fine. I understand. Man, if I really think about it, at least for now, the game that gets me in their Halloween spirit the most is Dead by Daylight, which is a newer game.
Which you've been playing every day but Halloween.
Exactly. I play all year. So when Halloween comes around, I'm like, they're not doing a double blood points thing this Halloween. Don't care. That should be the one fucking game right now where during October, they should just be giving you XP because it's freaking Halloween.
They don't?
Mm-mm.
That's a little obnoxious.
However, they started doing what Grand Theft Auto does. They started giving out free, instead of like, GTA will send you a message if you ain't played in 6 months. We've given you $1 million in game money. Come play, please. Please come play. Now, they didn't send me a message. I just happened to log on to it. And they're like, hey, we gave you 150,000 blood points. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. Shit.
Do they have nothing? Is their DLC nothing but free bullshit packs and cards named after sharks?
No.
That is dead to me. It's Dead by Daylight to me.
Their DLC is killers and players primarily.
Killers and survivors.
I still, we brought this up before, but I still think that the Thing would be the best monster they could put in that.
Yeah, because you could, yeah, we talked about that before.
And it occurred to me while I was watching a very lovely movie that I want to play as George Clooney as a survivor from Dusk Till Dawn.
With a kick-ass arm tattoo?
Sure.
Crazy people do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are. Are you sure they weren't crazy people?
I don't believe in vampires. I believe in what I see. What I see is fucking vampires.
I like how, shit. What's her name? Lewis. Lewis. She's in that.
Lewis
Gossett Jr.?
No.
No.
No. No. No.
I've never done power.
Damn it. What's her face? Something. Juliette Lewis. And she's got the crossbow. And she uses it like 60 times in the final battle and always has like 6 or 8 arrows still in the quiver until she needs to save her father. And then, oh my God, my arrows are gone. Oh, no.
Well, it's just like Doc Holliday firing 3 shots out of a double barrel shotgun.
Right. Or
the Henry repeater.
No. We forced that I watch Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite, yep.
He's chasing a guy out the window. The guy gets in a car, escapes. And he's got a 357.
Yeah, 357 with a 6-round cylinder.
And he shoots like 25 bullets.
And I love it. It's like bang, 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 bang.
He just keeps going before he reloads. We laughed our ass off with that.
The one thing, too, about Dead by Daylight, I wish it had more game modes to it.
Agreed. I want a hunter. I want a hunter versus hunter mode.
Or make it to where you are not just in the field trying to make a generator go to get the hell out of there. The game is actually fun to play when you get a good group going, and it can be a lot of fun. But it's one of those games I just wish they had some way of, I don't know, maybe setting traps for the killer or doing something to where you can kind of...
Yeah, again, that all comes down to balancing, but I kind of agree with you.
Right.
Well, they even had plans for a killer that could destroy items on the map. He was going to have like a big hammer for an arm, and he was going to be able to go through and either take down certain walls or knock trees down or... Because there'll be random things you can hide behind, like crates and boxes and barrels. I know you can't see it, but Forrest is just like up and down. He's giving me the yes face as I'm talking.
I'm mocking you.
I know you are. Because apparently I'm not good enough.
Orange wearing bitch.
For safety. Keeps people away. He's wearing orange. Don't go near him. He might chat your ear off about Star Wars and laser swords.
Please, laser sword. No, we're not doing that again.
Anyway, they didn't use him because he was going to be overpowered.
Well, thinking of that, you know who would have been great for that is the Resident Evil 5 Executioner.
What happened? There used to be...
Or just, you know, deflect that.
Sorry. There used to be a power called Decisive Strike, and it came with Laurie Strode from Halloween. And if the killer was carrying you towards a hook... Lore-wise, you had a piece of glass in your hand, and you could stab the killer, and he would drop you. Well, they nerfed the shit out of that power. Dead by Daylight's issue is, it's very hard to be the killer. I have successfully killed 0 people as the killer. A lot of people look at me like I'm stupid. I'm like, dude, I don't know why, but playing as the killer is just way hard for me. Yet, we come across people that are level 1 killers, and they're efficient as hell.
Like, I'm usually guaranteed to kill at least one person, but I can never win the match.
Goose egg. Zip, zero, zich, nada. Nobody. Zip, I barely even hit anybody with a weapon or a power.
That's why you gotta get the sniper bitch, the huntress.
So, because it's so hard as the killer, you have to have players playing the killer. You can't just have everyone playing a survivor and then have no killer. You just repair the generators and leave.
And speaking of, stop telling Brewster to hide in lockers while I'm watching him hide in the locker. He has a very bad habit of doing that.
He's actually pretty good at that game, especially of evading and stuff like that. There have been times I've watched him and I'm like, how in the hell did he get away from that guy? And I've juked and threw a pallet in front of it and... made some dip dives, and it's like, nope, you're going on the hook, bitch.
He did it to me like 3 times in one match. He would hide in a locker while I was watching him. But the one fucking thing he did, I don't know how I didn't catch him. He was at a generator. I could tell the generator was being repaired, and I was looking around, so I circled the generator, and he pulled the classic shit of moving on the opposite side of me.
Oh, he's good at that.
Yeah.
And that's all he did.
Well, it was just because you were new to the game. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the veteran killers, they know all those tricks. That's why they're good, because they never gave up playing the game.
Uh-huh.
They continue to play, and you know what I mean? It's that point where you're so smart that the game becomes boring because you're like, oh, look, he's hiding in the locker. Didn't see that. Uh-huh. You know, it's almost not fun anymore because you know what they're going to – you can read every player. You're like, oh, well, that was actually a good move. All right, I might follow the, you know, just whatever.
We were playing on that one Western map, and you fucked up, Josh.
How?
You were playing as Ash, and you were hiding in bushes, and I hadn't even considered that you could hide in bushes.
Right.
I thought your character model would be too big.
Right.
But here you were hiding in a bush, And you literally peeked out and said, haha, you can't see me. I turn around and saw you, and I'm like, thank you. From now on, I will check all the bushes.
Right, right.
And I found you 5 or 6 times because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The other part, too, is there's, I can't tell if, I don't want to consider it cheating, but there was one time we were all playing, and this guy walked right past me. No issue. He walked literally right by me. He stopped, backed up. I was hiding behind a wall, hunkered down. He stopped, backed up, and looked right at me. It was like he was just like, doo, doo, doo. Wait a second. Doo, doo, doo.
Well, and that happens a lot. That happens a lot.
I'm like, God. Like, because you play in third-person mode when you are the...
Yep. The survivor's in third-person and the killer's in first-person. So the killer's view is restricted.
It is a bit of a disadvantage.
Yes. But, I mean, that's for the balancing. So the survivor... And the killer's overpowered. You can't outrun him. There are... Because I've been trying to get as good as Nathan. And I just don't play enough to even try. Mm-hmm. But there are certain structures that are built for evasion. You can basically do figure eight runnings.
Yeah.
And
I was watching you watch the tactics runs of some of this shit.
Yes. And if you know what you're doing, you can make a lot of killers quit.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know. It's one of those things where it's very hard to balance that game. It makes it difficult. It's very toxic. There's a lot of people that as soon as the killer finds them, they disconnect. They quit. You know? And why? Just play. Just fucking play. Although, Nathan and I played 3 matches the other night, and I died every single match, and he escaped every single match.
Guess not very good as the survivor, either.
No. No, it's because you can get tunneled by the killer, or... We had both exit doors open. Everyone was still alive. I think he killed one guy. And then I went to go save Nathan. But someone else saved him. So then I ran into the killer by accident. And I'm not as good as evading as Nathan is. And then I got hooked. And from that point on... And then while I was on the hook, I couldn't get off. I was in struggle. And then he went after Nathan. And Nathan had to run away. It was just one of those things where... I should have planned it better. Or took a little bit more time. Or played around. But then... I won't get any further into it. I won't waste any more time on it. But anyway, I do love that game. I like it a lot. I wish I could be better at it. It's very hard. Although someone who's good at it would tell you, it's easy. You suck. It is what it is.
Manhunt, everybody. I like Manhunt.
I've heard of it.
It's basically Dead by Daylight, except everybody's a fucking killer, including you. Seriously, you get caught in that game, they will beat your ass down.
They'll gang up on you.
And that's the one for the PS2, correct?
Yes, and Xbox. I'm sure there was a GameCube port. There's always a GameCube port.
Not always, but there was some. That generation still befuddles me a little bit because Nintendo had always been the cute and friendly version, and then that's the... It and Nintendo 64 towards the end of its life started to become more of the Nintendo trying to grab audiences instead of the youth.
It's funny, too. So everybody views Nintendo as the kid-friendly company. But when Mortal Kombat Deception came out, it was the first Mortal Kombat game to have online features. You could play online with other people via PlayStation or Xbox. But the GameCube version obviously couldn't do that. So instead, you got Shao Kahn and Goro as playable characters. I think that's one hell of a trade-off.
It's kind of interesting.
Neat.
Now back to Manhunt.
It's a game about performing fatalities in GTA universe.
Yeah. What's the basic story?
Snuff.
It got bad. A sequel too, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, so Manhunt's basic story is that Brian Cox is hunting or is having you hunt people down after saving you from death row, and he wants you to be the star of his new snuff film.
Does he have a claymore?
Mayhaps.
Does he have a Jason Bourne at his hands?
You might as well be fucking Jason Bourne in this game, using garrote wire and plastic bags and broken glass and shit.
The garrote wire is my favorite. I know we talked about this once before. Because you can come up behind someone and catch them with the garrote wire to choke them out, but then you can put your knee in their back and then do a sawing motion and chop their head off, which then you can use as a sound distraction. You can then throw his head...
I did not realize this till I played it the other day, but all 3 levels of garrote wire take their head off. It's just that the 3rd level is fucking horrific.
What was the 3rd level? It's in the streets or something?
No, no, no. I mean the third execution. The whole damn game is in the streets, John.
Well, I mean, I was trying to think, like, there's an alley. We're kind of an alley, but then one level you're in a like a junkyard, and then another one you're in a construction site.
And one you're in a zoo. Yeah, it's fun.
Do you primarily? It's primarily stealth kills then?
It's almost exclusively stealth kills. Good luck to you if you try to kill anybody any other way until you get a gun.
A nail gun first.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a basic bitch fucking nail gun. Fire staples at people.
Which is weird, too, because nail guns don't usually work that way.
Unless you play Quake.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the nail gun on Quake.
It's got the 9-inch nails logo on it.
It does?
On the ammo for it, yes.
I didn't realize that.
Because Trent Reznor did the music for Quake 1.
I forgot that he did that. Which Quake itself is actually, it gives off that horror vibe as well.
Yeah, it's got a Lovecraft thing going on. Even the final boss is a Lovecraft monster, Shub-Niggurath. I don't know how to pronounce it, and I don't want to offend people, so.
Right. Resident Evil.
You did your best.
I did.
OG.
I gotta go remake.
I know. And the remake for the GameCube, mm-hmm. It looked so much better. But that original Resident Evil is still another one of those that, when I think about the years that I've played games, it is still one that sticks out as being scary. It definitely hit that nerve. I will never forget the first night I played it, and the dog jumped in the fucking window, mm-hmm. and it literally made me drop my controller. I dropped it in fear. I was so used to playing a game halfway relaxed, and that game was the first game that ever made me kind of get on the edge of the seat to play. And the same with the second one. The second Resident Evil, there was a time where you're walking by a window and they bust through the boards, the zombies do, their arms.
Yeah.
That one made me drop my controller. I actually had a friend sitting in my room with me at the time, and I jumped up, hit my head on the wall, and dropped the controller at the same time. Because it was pitch black dark here in my room, and we were just both concentrated watching me play this game, and was not expecting that at all. Even for a jump scare, that's still pretty damn impressive. Which, you know, any game could have a jump scare in it, but...
Well, Resident Evil has always had a very, very practical talent for scaring the shit out of you, no matter how few polygons they had to work with.
The first game, though, you didn't know what to expect. Like, you... Mm-hmm. It was the unknown. That's what scared me the most, probably, about that game, or sent that chill up my spine, was the fact that... Hadn't really played a full-on game, especially on a console. Most of that stuff would have been harbored on the PC at that time. But nothing on a console did what Resident Evil quite had done yet.
Now, I know we can go back and pick at the game's faults, but there are just a couple decisions in that game that I find a little questionable. For one, zombies respawn all the damn time, and they're everywhere. It gets to the point where after just a few hallways, they're not scary anymore.
Right.
Now, there's still dogs to worry about, and they're fucking terrifying. Right. And towards the end of the game, you get the chimeras. They're a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, then you fight giant spiders that look cartoony.
Birds.
And you fight the birds and the sharks and even the hunters after a little bit. The hunters are scary because of the threat they pose, not because of how they look.
Right.
Hunters will take your fucking head off if you're below fine.
It's funny how they managed to fit a shark in that game. You're not even in the ocean, yet there's a shark you have to fight.
I don't even remember there being a really practical reason for it. Oh, don't forget the time that giant plant tries to kill you.
Right.
Which, of course, you can circumvent by just poisoning it
yeah.
beforehand.
My favorite Resident Evil monster is still, to this day, Tyrant, the final boss of Resident Evil 1. It's more because of the remake, I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because no other monster in Resident Evil just smacks a fucking rocket away.
Right. He goes, how rude.
But he does it in like a very Picard way. How rude.
Right. I have done it with the queen this evening.
Most games, though, most horror games, it always seems like they're trying to push the envelope that Resident Evil opened.
Well, a lot of them use the moniker survival horror, and most of them use it incorrectly. Because you call Dead Space survival horror, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Because there is inventory management, and there's resource management.
There's resource, but it's mainly just for weapons and ammo and health packs. It could fall...
But, like, the resources are everywhere. The only problem is that it takes so many shots to put a thing down.
Right. Well, you can... Okay. You can kill everything in that game with just the plasma cutter. You can defeat any boss, any enemy, with the base weapon.
Which is why there's an achievement for it.
Exactly. I'm just saying... So you don't necessarily have to, because you can go to the store and then sell everything you find and just buy plasma cutter ammo and have so much ammo that you can rapid fire that shit and defeat final bosses. So I don't necessarily know if it's, I don't know, what's your point? Because it fits into that per se, but that's under the general description of survival horrors. Like, ooh, scary monsters, and I don't have infinite bullets.
But why is that survival horror and not just horror?
It's a good point.
I don't know. It's like there's no rigid term for survival horror. Survival horror just replaced regular horror.
I think it's just because there's inventory. If it was going to be just a horror game...
But every enemy you kill drops ammo and health.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. If it was just a horror game, you would have some kind of weapon or a gun... that never ran out of ammo, and you just fought monsters.
So Doom?
But even Doom, they drop ammo and health, and especially if you use the chainsaw on them on the new version.
Oh, and the new one, yeah. The old ones, they didn't drop anything.
That's true.
Well, okay, human enemies did. But I don't know. It's just, it's a weird line that hasn't really been drawn yet with what is survival horror and just horror.
I think they coined it because if you put it on a box... Parents see that, or somebody might see that and think, oh, but if you put the word survival on there, I mean, it adds something. I don't know. It's kind of like...
maybe it was a marketing thing?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe it wasn't something that was originally intended for people to focus in on.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Shinji Mikami, the guy who made it, when he went and made Dino Crisis, he said specifically, and put it on the box, this is not survival horror, this is panic horror.
Okay.
So he put in a bunch of shit to get your adrenaline pumping, you know, faster music, more ammo, more shit that can't die. But it feels more survival horror than pretty much every other Resident Evil game. So I just don't know.
Well, one thing Resident Evil did good that they steered away from eventually was the fixed perspectives.
Fixed camera angles will always be better to me than over the shoulder.
Because you can hear the noise, mm-hmm. and you know something is around the corner, but you don't know what it is. You don't know how close it is. And if you take one step forward, you move to the next camera, and it's right there. You should have fired as soon as you came through the door.
That's why Nemesis is a fucking genius tactical move on the part of Resident Evil 3. Because he can run.
Mm-hmm.
And he can run faster than you.
And he can follow you between rooms.
And he can smack you through rooms. Not really, but close enough. I don't know. I just think Nemesis is like the final boss of fixed control or fixed camera angles.
They couldn't...
You can't really top that.
They can't go past it. They can't beat it.
But that also kind of played at one of Resident Evil's small flaws. Like, most games, you are the protagonist. You are the character that you're playing as.
I am Turok!
Correct. But in Resident Evil, it doesn't make you feel like you're a part of that character when you're in a third-person perspective with tank controls in the upper left-hand corner looking down on them like you're a camera.
I almost feel that that's a strength.
But the reason I think it takes away from it, because if you were the character, you would see what's coming in the room. You would see the thing. And I understand there was limitations to the graphical power of, you know, the PS1 at the time and the Sega Saturn, because this also was on the Sega Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
There was limitations to how much they could get on a screen at one time. But at that same strength, it helped its spookiness, it helped its atmospheric tone of it, not knowing what was in the same room as you. But at the same, you know, it took away from that immersion of you being Chris or...
But think of it this way. What if it was their intention to not make you feel like that? Would you be more distressed seeing a thing come your way that you know you can take out? Or would you be more distressed seeing someone you care about in that situation and you feel powerless?
I could see the strengths of both.
Exactly. So
it can go both
again,
ways.
Again, that's an accessibility thing. They took the riskier route in not making it first person like they wanted to. Because it was going to be first person. they only did the fixed camera angle so they could have CG backgrounds for everything.
Well, and that would make sense too, because there's times when like you go through certain, like the stairs, it's first person shuffling, the doorways, it's...
That's when the immersion gets you, is when you're going through a door.
Yeah.
But my only complaint is they never take advantage of that until Resident Evil 2, and even then it's just one door.
Yeah, when you're going with the...
You just got in the police station,
yep.
And you head in through the back. You go down the stairs past the flaming helicopter.
There's like a service building. It's got a pipe in it and stuff. And
that's where you get the valve, I think.
I'll just go this way, and then...
The door opens up, and then zombies come pouring in. That's the only time that does that to you in all the series, and it is scary as shit.
I wonder if they were just trying it out in a game, because like maybe we'll do this more in the next game. And everyone was like, it was all right. And then they were like...
I wanted Nemesis to do that. I wanted to open
Except
a door.
Except he comes in, he's like, ah! And you're like, shit!
Tap X to get up.
Tap everything.
That was the other thing, too. Like, most of the games that you play, spooky or not, your guy doesn't really fumble and you know... It's not until a cutscene usually that your character falls down and has to get back up again. In those games, you know, sometimes it would be helpful if you could fall down and scurry away, you know what I mean, to keep from being grabbed. But then again, the limitations of a character.
I don't know. They did that for Resident Evil 6, and it had hilarious results.
Did it?
Yeah. See, you didn't have tank controls. That was the first game there were no tank controls. It was full 3D movement. So you could aim, and you also had a roll button at the same time. So you could use your roll button backwards, and you wouldn't roll, you would fall on your ass. And there were sections of the game where you were required to fall on your ass to stop from being decapitated or something. So many times, just for comedic effect, if there were multiple people playing, because it's a multiplayer game too, there were just people on their ass, like trying to fucking play footsies with each other. That game was a meme without trying to be. It was glorious.
I always thought, Resident Evil 4 was over the shoulder, right?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on that game.
Still, it was still good, though. That beginning village, they definitely nailed it with that part.
It pulls you in.
What do you got next, Josh?
Well, I've got a list, but they're in no particular order. We've already covered Dead Space. For the most part, we brought it up anyway.
Dead Space 2 is better.
Alien Isolation on next gen. I'm telling you what, that's a game that got my heart pumping way more than most games do. Like Dead Space, even the Dead Space games, playing through them, each new game, through the first couple playthroughs, you're surprised. There's attacks you don't see coming. There's cool scenes, and you're like, but... You replay those, and they're mostly scripted. So it just turns into any other game. But Alien Isolation can go depending on the difficulty you pick, depending on your play style. And the alien is AI. He's his own AI. And there's also an AI director. And the director monitors your tension versus how much the alien is tormenting you. Once it hits a certain level... If he's not found you, it makes him leave. And then depending on your actions, he will either return quickly or it may take him a while. And then there's certain sections of the game. See, he's fucking stealthy.
So what you're saying is he's mathematically designed to scare you as much as possible.
Right, pretty much. Pretty much.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Pretty much. And there's times where you don't know where he is. So there's once where I opened a door and there he was. He wasn't facing me. His back was to the door, and I did not move, and the door movement and noise did not alert him. But he was walking. It was almost like he was glitched. He was walking so slow because he was just stalking. But there's other sections of the game where you get locked in areas with him, and he's actively hunting you. And as he's walking on the deck plates, you get the deck plate is shaking, there's a metal ting to it, and you're like, I bet that guy weighs 1,000 pounds. Because he's looking for you, and he knows you're in there, but he can't find you. And then you can get into a locker, and if he gets close to you, you have to hold your breath and pull your face away from the vents, because if not, he will pull the door off, and he'll finish you off. Plus, there's no close calls with the alien. If he gets you, it activates a cutscene and you're dead. Reload your last save.
You willfully ignored the most bullshit part of the game. He can kill you while you're saving.
Yes. Yeah, and what happens if you save and he's running towards you? You're now screwed in that save. Because if you save and he's coming at you, you're like, oh, and then you die and you reload, you're right. It's kind of like in a Halo checkpoint where you catch a checkpoint right as you're getting your ass kicked and you just keep reloading your death over and over and over.
Like you get a checkpoint when there's a Wraith Blast right at you and you have no shields.
Or you're falling off a cliff.
Right.
That's happened to me a couple times.
Just BS. But yeah, there's actually a mode in Alien Isolation. Where
get it.
What?
Alien Isolation. AI.
Oh, God. I can't believe I didn't see that before.
I wonder if that was intentional.
Maybe.
But then they made a movie called AI with, was it Haley Joel Osment?
Yep.
So you're telling me Haley Joel Osment is a xenomorph? Fuck.
I thought it was Jude Law. He's in that movie, too.
Your logic is flawless. Flawless. I can find no flaws.
Wait. But AI was originally written to be a Stanley Kubrick movie, and Stanley Kubrick made 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I thought you were going to say Full Metal Jacket.
Which had HAL 9000, but 9000 is one less than over 9000, so that means that Haley Joel Osment is a Saiyan, not Xenomorph.
So, he went from being a Xenomorph into being a Saiyan.
But Saiyans are aliens.
So, yeah, Xenomorphs are related to Saiyans.
I knew
Holy
it.
Crap.
Once again, your logic is flawless. One of the modes is you can, if you, the Kinect, you can turn on the sensor on that. So, if you make noise in your room, the alien perceives that noise and then comes hunting you down.
That was a feature in, like, Call of Duty 3.
Really?
So yes. If you're sitting in your beanbag chair eating Cheetos naked, that's probably not the time to play Alien Isolation.
And you're like, I'm in a locker, he'll never find me. And then he comes down the vent directly in front of you and then rips the door off and then you die.
Not even that, you just let out a really bad fart and then bam, he's there.
And he's not the only one. There's parts where you're in the game and the alien is not really a threat. But the station computer has turned the androids into security guards.
And it's stupid.
The working Joes. Mm. The working Joes.
I just have a problem with that whole scenario.
I get it. Well, it's alien. Okay, the guy that you showed me, Zealot Media, and he does the Civilizations Too Stupid to Exist.
Oh, yeah.
And then he covers Weyland-Yutani, and he discusses that. He's like, it seems like there's only one person ever calling the shots, trying to get the biggest bonus for catching the aliens, and they don't tell anybody. And so they're doing everything underhanded, so everything goes to shit. And he's like, of course it's going to go to shit. You're not doing anything by the rules, or you're not doing them smart because you're trying to be sneaky and sneak, you know. And he's just like...
I like how you've seen more of his stuff than I have now.
I like his stuff. It's pretty good.
But the weird thing, though, is the even the Weyland... that. We don't think of it, like, when I was a kid, I didn't ever think of this beyond the movie, but they brought out the new, what was the last Alien movie that they did?
Covenant.
There was Covenant, and then there was one prior to that, which Prometheus. Was Prometheus.
Mm-hmm. Fucking nerd.
And Prometheus, I liked part of it, but the other part was that the original founder of Weyland himself was still alive.
Uh-huh. Right, so the company is still that new.
Yeah.
Per se.
But he looks like he's about fucking...
He looks nothing like Lance Henriksen. That's my problem.
He's about to die.
Why not just get Lance Henriksen, though? But he's fucking old as shit.
Well, once fuck. Who directed Alien?
Ridley Scott.
Why could I not think of his fucking name? Anyway, once he came in and did Prometheus, he took out... Or he... I don't know the word. He decanonized.
Retconned.
He retconned AVP. So the alien versus Predator universe does not exist. Anything that happens in there is not.
I kind of pretend that anyway.
I love AVP. Oh, I have news about that anyway. But so Lance Henriksen was in Alien 2 and 3 as the founder of Weyland-Yutani.
Well, in 2, he was an android based on him. Okay. And then in 3, he was
like the descendant.
The descendant, exactly. He wasn't the...
But they're all based on the same asshole. I'm just saying, I believe Lance Henriksen as an old man playing his own grandfather over, what's his name? Pierce? Guy Pierce?
Yeah.
Doing it.
And looking all crusty.
He looks so fucking crusty.
I liked Guy Pierce. I thought he did great.
Yeah, it looked like if you sneezed on him, he would actually gain moisture.
You would extend his life by 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The only 2 things I like him in are Iron Man 3 and The Time Machine. And people hate The Time Machine for some reason.
I love The Time Machine. It's a great movie. God. I know it's kind of stupid, but it deals with time. Anything dealing with time travel,
I was going to say, the book it's based on was terrible.
Did you guys ever catch a flick called Back to the Future?
Right.
Yeah, those are shit too.
Give us another spooky game, Forrest. I got him on the spot. He's looking.
He's like, what's spooky?
Let me see. So I've already talked about Manhunt.
He's really going to play this one up, folks. He's going for the sheet. He's literally marking things off of it.
Talked about Majora's Mask.
Oh, he's marked 3 things off the list.
3 out of 10, man. We're going. Metroid doesn't really put me in the spooky mood. I just love the atmosphere. Left 4 Dead's not that scary till you get to the witch.
He's really hemming this up.
Never
folks.
Played Until Dawn. I'm sure it's fine. Doom 3 was scary. Doom 64 had babies crying in it. All right. So Eternal Darkness. I never played that one either. Put me on the spot, fucker, will you?
Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, I got Silent Hill. You want to talk about Silent Hill? It's got a guy with it.
We got a podcast to fill here, so let's go for it.
Yeah. The first one's just Fog Simulator, right?
Right.
It's funny everybody says that, but it's snow in the first one. It's not fog. It's not fog till part 2.
But it looks good, though, for a PS1 game.
Looks fucking good. I don't get the giant skin pterodactyls. They're not that scary, but everything else is fine.
Want to see some skin, kid? Want to buy a skin flick?
They're not flying. They're just flashing you repeatedly.
Did you ever see the movie Waiting?
No.
There was a move that they do called the Batwing, where they pull their scrotum and stretch it. Yeah. The whole
kind of light behind it, so...
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, they call it the Batwing.
And they do that quite... The end-all, be-all is called the goat, where you bend over and stick your nuts between your legs.
Oh, wow.
So everyone's trying to get each other with it the whole movie, but they never... The whole movie technically follows the guy that just got the job at the restaurant. So
I love how you're describing a plot that I've never heard of.
That's fine. I'm done.
The Batwing. That's all you need to know about the movie. The Batwing.
Because... From that brief 2-minute explanation, I'm all I can imagine is fanboys.
Fanboys is better.
I'll take that. Fanboys pretty good. What was I talking about?
You were talking about the Hill of Silence.
I still wish fucking Kojima had been able to do that.
He did. It was called PT.
Yeah, but that wasn't even really it. That wasn't going to be the Silent Hill. That was your teaser. PT stands for playable trailer.
The bad thing, too, is, like, what if that game was shit?
I know.
Like, you can almost look at this as kind of a win-win scenario. Because PT itself was actually kind of creepy. Did you play it?
I never had the chance.
I watched all the streamers play it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen hours and hours and hours of footage of it.
I played it. I downloaded it when it first came out. Of course, I didn't know it was going to be a limited exclusive or I would have never deleted it from my PlayStation. But it actually, like, there were some times in it, like, you shut off all the lights and sit there and play it, and it actually did. It was kind of scary just to sit and watch. Like, it definitely...
Kind of? That game was terrifying.
It had moments that I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you asked more questions and you got answers from it, of course. And that was the perfect purpose of it, was to entice you to want to see where it goes.
It was an appetizer.
And it was basically just 2 hallways and some doors and a couple rooms that you could go into.
Yeah, it was 2 hallways, a basement, and 1 room.
Yeah, and there wasn't...
That's all it was. And it was terrifying.
Yeah. but it's almost perfect in its timepiece, because really, if it would have became something and the game wasn't nearly as good as the hype that was built from that playable trailer or playable
teaser,
like, would we have thought that it was just nothing? That PT would have been nothing, and nobody ever would have talked about it again.
No, and I will put it this way. Even if Silent Hills sucked, they wouldn't have pulled PT.
No, but PT itself would have been just... It wouldn't have been as important as it is now.
That's true.
I think if you've got something that looks and sounds great and is a good experience, it can sometimes be ruined by something that takes away from that. It's kind of like the Metal Gear. Did you play what was the name of that?
Which one?
He released a game before he put out
Ground
Zeroes. Ground Zero. If Ground Zeroes was great and we never got the next Metal Gear,
which came pretty close to happening from my understanding,
like, would we be sitting here talking about it versus talking about Phantom Pain?
That's possible. I mean, because of what happened, PT is kind of in a legendary status now.
Right.
It's almost mythological. But at the same time, Ground Zeroes wasn't that great.
No.
But it was the same thing. It was like 10 playable missions that all took place in the same camp.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all it was.
Right.
And you rescue Hideo Kojima. But put it this way. Do you know who was working on Silent Hills?
Oh, Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. You had Hideo Kojima, Guillermo del Toro, and Norman Reedus all involved. It's possible that could have been fucked up, but the odds are astronomical. That would have been very hard to mess up.
It seems like anytime Guillermo and Hideo worked together, like, they had another project that they wanted to collaborate on, and it never came to fruition either. It fell to the wayside as well.
That's just a Guillermo del Toro thing, because he was supposed to direct the Hobbit movies, but he didn't want them to be a trilogy. He just wanted two of them.
Right. So. I could see that, though.
Well, yeah, that would have been better. The Hobbit movies aren't that great.
Now they're going to release them all in 4K Blu-ray. I'm actually looking forward to it.
They haven't already?
No. I'm fearing the wallet drop that it's going to take to get them, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to want arm and leg, firstborn child, and your soul.
Yeah.
For absolutely no bonus features.
It's just no.
It's going to look a little better.
Did you ever buy any of the Lord of the Rings box sets?
Yeah, the DVDs. The new ones, the Blu-rays. Blu-rays come with no bonus features.
See, those are the ones that are cheap at Walmart. If you buy, like, the big box set, there's enough bonus features to triple the runtime of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware. That's Peter Jackson's style. I just haven't found any Blu-rays like that.
Right. Well, they sell them now. In fact, on Amazon, since today's Prime Day, they had the gigantic box set that's normally like $400.
God damn.
It was $99 today. It sold out.
I bet it did.
It sold. Like, I was on there looking to see what Blu-rays they had on sale. It was like, the Lord of the Rings big box set with the Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings, and it's all in like this fancy, they look like leather bound books in this little thing, and I was like, oh, that's cool. It sold out, 100%ed. Son of a bitch.
I believe that.
Big demand for that.
Yeah.
There's something a little controversial. I think he did a better job with King Kong than the Lord of the Rings movies. Fight me.
Jack Black, he can't break these. They're chromium alloy steel. Oh, I'm fully awake. Snap.
It's like, God damn it, that's not the blonde bitch I like.
I think he definitely matured a lot between the Lord of the Rings. But the Lord of the Rings, though, I don't know. Those two movies aren't really comparable in my book. The Lord of the Rings, I wished he wouldn't have done The Hobbits, because The Hobbits felt like he was just trying to recreate the magic that he made with The Lord of the Rings.
It was just so much unnecessary fluff.
It was too much filled.
Two movies would have been perfect.
A movie.
It's too big for one movie. Take the important scenes from The Hobbit trilogy that were in the book and condense them. You'd still have a 6-hour movie.
I'd be okay with that.
I would too. I wouldn't complain if they did that.
The one game that still kind of makes me a little creeped out beyond Silent Hill.
Beyond Good and Evil?
Beyond Good and Evil. I never played Beyond Good and Evil.
Me neither. There's a pig in it or something.
Was Condemned. Did you ever... Did I... We've talked about Condemned.
We mentioned it. I still haven't played it.
The beginning of it, when you're stuck in the warehouse and there's a bunch of... I want to call them crackheads or whatever, but...
Just junkies.
Junkies running around the building, ready to attack you at any moment. Mm-hmm. And there's these stupid mannequins that just randomly spawn in at any moment, and they're just there to scare the living shit out of you. And eventually you figure out that your guy is...
fucking batshit crazy.
Deranged, yes. Mm-hmm. For the most part. And it, that game takes you places that you don't expect a game to take you. So it's definitely... It's one of those like honorables.
I was thinking the Futurama joke. Turns out it's man.
Turns out it's man. He was like, oh, what the worst monster that it could...
We've combined the evil traits of everything in the universe, and now the final result. Turns out it's man.
Steps right out.
My favorite is still the T-Rex.
But yeah, that...
I was just seeing where that went.
That game is definitely on an honorable mention list.
If nothing else, I agree. It actually shares a lot of things in common with Manhunt, including the diverse weapons, because it's all melee-focused, right?
Right.
For the most part.
Correct.
Yes. Josh.
Sorry, I was... Because I don't even remember Condemned, so I was looking up a video of it real quick.
It's Doom 3 if you were a cop instead.
Okay. I mean, you're right.
In Max Payne's universe.
You get lead pipes really? And stuff like that.
Well, no, it just feels like Max Payne.
Oh, okay.
Fuck no. I'd feel bad for him if it was in Max Payne's universe.
No, I'm glad I checked it out, though, because I had never seen it. He said Condemned, and I'm trying to think. While you guys are talking, I'm like, number one, I've got circus music going on in my brain, and I'm trying to think. Condemned. Did I ever see Condemned? And then I looked up the video and saw the thumbnail. I was like, I remember that box cover. Okay.
Criminal Origins, yeah.
But I'd never played it.
They'd made a second one.
I never touched it.
It was one of those games that they did everything that they needed to with the first one. I didn't see any reason to have a second
Boo
one.
Sequels, unless you're RoboCop 2, Aliens, or Terminator 2. Other than that.
Two of which were directed by James Cameron.
Shit, they were.
You get James Cameron.
Nah.
Josh, you got anything else to nail us home with here?
Not really. I'll just do some honorable mentions. Blood Rain 1 and 2. I Very nice. Quite really enjoy those games. I have Left 4 Dead on mine. World War Z, four-player co-op survival. You fight hordes of zombies. It's fun to play because of the giant amounts of zombies you have to kill. But if you're playing with your friends and you're playing on any difficulty other than easy, you're going to have a hard time unless you're with a good group of people.
You're going to have a bad time. The AI, or not the AI, the fucking HUD in that game is just trash.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But the Suffering, there was Suffering 1 and Suffering 2.
Michael Clark Duncan was in one of those.
Yeah, were they on PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
Okay.
Maybe both.
I can't remember. I think, anyway, I'll go. And then Alien 3 for the NES and the SNES were...
See, it's an NES, but with an S in the front.
Oh, that... So that's what Mark is when he's saying SNES. Oh my God. I'm just kidding.
They made it super...
So, yeah, those are my honorable mentions.
You got any honorables?
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
In particular, 2 and 3. Because Mortal Kombat 2, it's very bright and colorful, but when it's not, it's drastically fucking dark and dreary and kind of fucking creepy. Mortal Kombat 2 and 3 are creepy as hell.
I always thought Mortal
Baraka
Kombat...
doesn't have eyes in Mortal Kombat 2. They
okay.
are pitch fucking
yep,
black.
Yep.
Right. Mortal Kombat 2 is... It'll always be my favorite Mortal Kombat, I think. Mm-hmm. I thought 3 was okay, and they nailed a little bit more of what 2 had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 will always be my go-to Mortal Kombat.
Well, it's simpler. It's for less talented people. It really is.
Thanks.
No. I love Mortal Kombat 2 to death. It's like every time I play it, I enjoy it more and more. But it's less available than 3 for some reason. It's the music in those games. In particular, like the Deadpool in, what is it, Mortal Kombat 2? Where it's just acid all around you. The music for that stage is fucking creepy. It sounds like it belongs in Creepshow.
Word.
So, I just feel like those deserve an honorable mention for being fucking crazy. Also, Baraka has the scariest fatality in Mortal Kombat 2. He just lifts you up with his blades and you slide down and he just glares in your fucking eyes.
With his mouth full of finagled razor teeth. Yeah. God, he's monstrous looking.
Yes.
My honorables would be Dead Rising and Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Dead Rising, yeah.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Those are both just fun, silly. You can throw those games on and just have a blast. But Dead Rising gets to a point where it is a little hectic, especially when you're trying to make the time crunch, the OG.
Yep.
My favorite Dead Rising is still 3. I liked it a lot more than the first 2. And Zombies Ate My Neighbors, it's almost like a cult classic now.
Right.
To the point where...
It's legendary status.
Yes.
Basically. I would like to toss out one more mention to Hunter the Reckoning.
Oh, yeah. That was a good game.
Yeah.
Because that shit always got me in the mood for Halloween. It was always spooky, always fucking crazy shit going on. I'm a judge, but I have a crossbow and a claymore.
He was pretty badass.
Judge don't fuck around.
You can catch us at GamerDA.com.
If you have a Master Ball, you can catch us at Twitter at GamerDA1.
But you have to damage us first.
And if you do it during the Halloween season, you'll catch us with a cute little witch hat.
Oh, yeah. We're on Facebook at Gamer Discretion Advised.
I stutter.
It happens.
And if we missed any game on this list or our gathering here, give us a shout out at podcast@gamerda.com. We'd love to hear what game we missed to make this spook fest for you. So hope you guys have a good Halloween. More to come for the rest of the month. Hopefully everything goes okay. Sorry for the delay in our podcast. We've had some technical difficulties, but we should be back on track now.
Just remember, the Forest Temple is always scarier than the Shadow Temple.
It's true.
Good evening. I love Halloween. I'm just saying.
I love it better. More.
Mm.
More.
Mm. 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 Mm.